Since the recording of this podcast, our podcast archive has moved. You can now get every single podcast we've ever recorded at tappingqandapodcast.com. I'd also encourage you to check out our new service at myeftyear.com, where we'll show you how you can do a little tapping every single day to make a big difference to move you towards your goals. Enjoy today's show. This is Gene Monterostelli, and welcome to the Tapping Q&A podcast, recorded live to tape from the Eternal City, Baltimore, Maryland. This is episode number 15, originally aired August 4th, 2009. Hi, everyone. If you have not had a chance to stop by the site to see the new design, to see the new makeover, make sure that you go to tappingqandapodcast.com and check out all the work that's been done there. The new site is much more user-friendly. I would love your feedback. Let me know what you think about it. Just go to tappingqandapodcast.com/contact to provide that feedback. I want to start out by sending out a congratulations to Heather. Heather was the winner from podcast number 13 in the drawing for the session. If you'd like to be entered into a drawing to win a free one-on-one EFT or tapping session with me, all you need to do is listen to this podcast. Somewhere in the podcast will give you the secret word or phrase. Shoot an email to me from tappingqandapodcast.com/contact with that secret word or phrase, and we will put you in the drawing, and you too might be able to win a session with me. Well, let's just get right to it. There's an awesome, awesome interview this week about tapping and financial abundance. This week, I interviewed Ana Maria Herrera. Ana Maria is a California-based EFT practitioner and a real good friend of mine. She has just amazing number of projects going on. Every time I get an email update from her, it's some new idea, some new project. She's really doing provocative stuff in the field. But for this interview, I wanted to focus on something really specific and something that she's done a lot of work with. She did a recent case study where she worked with a bunch of clients on financial abundance, how to use tapping for financial abundance, and what are the most common stumbling blocks. And so to start out the interview, I simply asked her, what was her initial impetus? Why was she so interested in finding the best way to use tapping to work with issues around financial abundance?
Great question, Gene. How I got started was really on myself. I've been around emotional freedom technique for some years now and used it in my own life and, of course, in my private practice with my clients, and saw how effective tapping techniques were for other areas, health concerns, relationship issues, phobias, past traumas, and wanted to see in the area of finances, firstly for myself, could it be as effective? And saw how effective it was to remove my limiting beliefs about what I can create financially and what I can have financially. And then I started to introduce this to my clients and saw they had fantastic results as well. The second reason I became very interested in this area, Gene, was because I saw it as the common denominator for so many people that were struggling with money. I had met people that had told me, they've lived a pretty healthy life and haven't had any health issues. I've met people that were older and they said they have a wonderful marriage and really didn't have any challenges in their relationships. But there's very few people that I've ever met that have not had problems or challenges in the area of finances, irregardless if they're making $20,000 a year or, $400,000 a year. It seemed a common denominator with people that were telling me they were struggling in that area. And then lastly, I got interested because when I did a series of interviews, and actually you are one of the people I interviewed for a topic in the Ask the EFT Expert series that I did last year, the most popular teleclass that was attended was anything about money and finances in EFT by far. So I really saw that this was a great need for people.
And so with that being said, and we've talked about this before, one of the things I found really impressive is once you recognize this need, you decided to, instead of thinking you knew all the answers, you decided, I need to work with people one-on-one to figure out really what's going on so we can find what the core issues were. And you created a pretty comprehensive research project. As you did that, what were some of the things that surprised you outside of what your expectations were when you started working with folks to try and figure out where the real blocks were?
Yeah, that was a real exciting program for me. And to tell you, I had to work on my core issues, which for people listening are limiting beliefs, around doing that research project because I hadn't seen anybody do one like that. And then I was wondering, you know, will my participants really get results? So specifically, as you mentioned, it was a specific program, Financial Success with EFT, and I gathered these participants. Some were employees looking for better job opportunities, and there was a larger group that were business owners, entrepreneurs, health practitioners that were seeking to have better financial success, more clients, that type of thing. And when I gathered them, I definitely had to use my own system on my limiting beliefs around launching this research project. But what was interesting to me, what I think the two things that were surprising, one, the first one was how quickly people got results. I actually was surprised by that. I knew people could get really good results working one-on-one with a practitioner, with myself. I wasn't sure how quickly they could experience results in a group setting, because I had them meet in a group teleclass and, you know, do certain things, some tapping, and very specific, led them step by step, and how quickly they reported to me, because they were required to once a week check in with me, either by phone or by email, and tell me just objectively what they're noticing and what's going on, and they had to fill out a little form. And I was really surprised to see both newcomers to EFT, because I had people on there that had never tapped in their life, and as well as EFT practitioners, telling me the results they were getting, seeing evidence of abundance coming in their life, financial abundance, and also feeling more at peace about themselves and their relationship with money. So that was really surprising how quickly I saw that. It didn't take months. It just took them, you know, dedicating themselves to doing what I said to do and following through. The second thing was, and it's an important point I wanted to make, is that the woman, I had a hunch, and I wanted to try it out in this group, and it confirmed my hunch, and that is not always should people include a dollar amount or a euro amount or a pound amount in their financial goal. That that was my hunch, because I'd worked with a couple of clients, and I found that when we actually took away, I did not have them focus on a dollar amount or a euro amount. They actually attracted financial success and abundance easier and quicker. I think there's few reasons for this. One of them is that for people that are first setting out in the area of financial abundance, they're first setting out working on money issues, sometimes creating a financial goal is a lot for the mind to wrap around. It's almost like a stumbling block. I'll give you an example. It's like someone who hasn't exercised maybe, you know, in some years, and then they said, okay, I'm deciding to do a triathlon, and I'm going to enter next month. You know, that's a lot for the mind and the body to take on so quickly. So that was my hunch, and I for some people, I thought it was appropriate when they wanted to put a dollar amount or a euro amount, I suggested they not, and my hunch was correct, that they actually still attracted financial abundance, income opportunities, and clients. And I believe it was by actually at that time when they're starting out, removing just for that time the money goal, and then later they can insert it. And that was a good thing to learn.
So what did they do in lieu of saying, I want to make X amount the next month?
Yes. So, of course, everybody that was there, irregardless if they were an employee or a practitioner, were looking to increase their income, you know, looking to increase their income, whether that was through their job or having more clients or at real estate agents, wanted to have more people list their houses with them. So that was obviously a common denominator with everybody. So what I had them do was actually more clearly, or at the beginning, get very focused on what were their specific core issues, again, which are limiting beliefs, to having and keeping financial success, you know, financial greater income. They're targeting on that first. I found it was like going back to the garden and pulling up the weeds around money first, and then implanting what their desired goal was, whether it was to, one, have more clients in their practice, or if it was to ask for a job, you know, to attract a job with a better salary, and then a financial goal.
So that is how, you know, you started out with someone who was new to something like that. What about someone who has been, you know, tapping around the idea of financial success and growing their practice or things like that? What are tips that you would offer to someone who knows that they want to do that? They know that they can use tapping for that, but have really struggled in having success. What are some of the tips you would offer them, or what are you, would you tell them to look out for that maybe they could change in order to be more successful?
Yeah. So, people, and this is the question that we get is that, you know, I have been working in the area of financial abundance or financial success. Some have done a lot of personal development. Some have actually tapped, used EFT or another tapping technique around money, and they say, I see little or no results. You know, I've seen little or no change. There's a few recommendations I have for that. Number one, I think the biggest impact someone can make on their bank account is to decide. That's really the biggest first step that I would say that everybody on the call, people are listening, is to really decide to have financial success. It really starts with a decision. And this is the first thing, whether someone's just starting out and has never approached money issues, or someone that's telling me, listen, I've done X amount of programs and nothing's worked. It's really to decide whether for the first time or again that you can have financial success and that, you know, that you deserve it. For people that are listening, if you believe that you deserve to have wonderful health or wonderful relationships, why not in the area of money? It's just another area. It's just another demonstration of who you are and what you can achieve. That's my biggest one, Gene, really to decide, because often people haven't made the decision, so there's no forward movement in this area.
And so it also sounds like that beyond, you know, because we can decide in our mind to do lots of things, but if we don't feel that we deserve the thing that we're deciding for ourselves, that it doesn't matter that we've made that decision, that idea of what we deserve and knowing what we're worthy of makes that progress a lot easier. Would that be an accurate description of what you just said?
Yeah, that's very much true, and I actually deserve is one of the core issues of limiting beliefs that I talk about. It's one that I definitely saw early on, and a lot of us practitioners have seen, is deservability. Does someone deserve financial success? You know, you'll hear that as we're tapping on that core issue for people. Their limiting beliefs come up. You know, am I being greedy? Do I really deserve it because there's people dying in Africa? Do I really deserve to have financial success when my folks, you know, struggled in poverty all their life? Do I really deserve it? I might not be a good enough mom or a good enough dad. I've heard these. So that's so important to decide, and, of course, to tap on that core issue of deservability around financial success. I think the second tip I would say is to really learn from mentors. You know, any level of success that I've had in my life, whether it's getting over my health challenges or in the area of past traumas or business success, even and financial, is that I've stayed close to people that were successful, that I saw that was successful, and just saw what are they doing, and to really invest in working with them. Now, for everybody, that's going to be different. Maybe it's one-on-one with a practitioner or a coach. For another person, it's buying a program. For another person, it's reading books of inspired lives. That has been, the first is decide. The second is really modeling people that are successful. That I have to recommend hands down for everybody, because that's definitely how I've achieved what I have. I haven't made all this up. It's from modeling and working with colleagues and successful people.
And so once someone has decided to do that, they're recognizing that this is an area of my life I want to work on. I want to use these tapping protocols. I'm modeling myself after other folks who are doing this successfully. How much time am I supposed to be investing on this? Is this something that I'm supposed to do long marathon tapping sessions for? Is this something that I do a little bit every single day? Like, what's a reasonable approach for someone who is trying to see a shift in their life? Because oftentimes, you know, when we're dealing with capital T traumas, you know, there's a very specific instance in my past where it's affecting, you know, like a phobia, something like that it makes a lot of sense to go after that specific moment and go after it. When we're dealing in the area of limiting beliefs like this, there can be an initial sensitizing event, a capital T trauma, but oftentimes this is something that runs much deeper and it's much more pervasive through how we model ourselves and the universe and all of that. So how do you recommend someone approach using a tool set like this to go after these issues?
Yeah, I think you really make a really, gosh, what a great explanation that you just said right now. And I love how you said capital T traumas. It's a really important question that you ask. And in fact, before I launched that research program, I had to, of course, decide, you know, what were the recommendations I'm going to make for them with tapping, because certainly people are busy. I mean, I know that there are suggestions out there in the tapping world and EFT world to write a lot of things down and tap them all away. We're busy folks, whether someone's a mother of two or they're a CEO or they're a student. People, you know, have limited time. Not only that, I have found that when people really try to hunker down and tackle an issue, like you say, capital T, and I've been guilty of it. My hand is for sure raised. They can end up exhausted. You know, they can really end up wiped out and exhausted. So I like the analogy, you know, steady wins the race. Steady wins the race. In the program, what I recommend after I showed them, one, how to create their financial goal, what they want, and then two, how to identify what their limiting beliefs or the core issues around that. What I suggested for the participants, and I suggest for my clients, is only to tap a few minutes a day. I really recommend people only to tap. Now, of course, we're talking about finances. This is a generalization, for 3 to 10 minutes a day. Now, of course, everybody's different. Some people will want to and feel good about setting aside a half an hour, and that's just fine. The one thing I've seen is that people can feel overwhelmed, and it can make them tired. So I rather see somebody, if you're tapping on your issues around money, I rather see people tap a few minutes a day, consistently 3 to 5 minutes, you know, consistently a day, and of course maybe someone skips a day, rather than hunker down for half an hour, and then for the next couple of days, the thought of tapping makes them feel sick. I find that it's kind of like going for a brisk walk or brushing our teeth. It's better to do it consistently than, you know, try to tackle everything at once. The other point I want to make with that, Gene, is that we have to remember that the time we've gotten to EFT or to these tapping techniques, we've, by and large, been, what, 30, 35, 40, 50, 60 years on the planet, something like this, we have accumulated a fair amount to clear, and especially in the area of money. So if someone feels they're really going to tackle it down, they can feel overwhelmed and feel frustrated. Again, steady wins the race.
So if that's the case, you know, let's say I'm going to tap for 5 minutes, and in the formula of the basic recipe, in 5 minutes, I can probably do 7 or 8 rounds of tapping, because it takes between 45 and 60 seconds to do that.
Yeah.
So what do I do? How do I decide what I'm going to do with those 5 to 7 to 8 rounds of tapping that I'm going to do, if I'm just going to do a little chunk each day?
Yeah. So that's a big million, no pun intended, a big million-dollar question to focus in on, because of course everybody listening is in a different area of their life and their progression in the area of finances. I think one of the big things they can do is tap just initially is to tap on their resistance to tapping. One of the things that was interesting for me to see in their research program is that there were a few people that there were things coming up in their life. It was very interesting to me. Once the research program hit, their computer broke down, so they couldn't access the email. Another person had an accident with their leg and was hospitalized. Another person's parents got sick, and they couldn't follow through with the program. Another person was so interesting. Another person had written down on their calendar twice the wrong day and the wrong time of the program, even though I'd sent, you know, several emails out of what it was. And so, of course, life happens. You know, we don't know always why these things happen. But one of the things that I would recommend, and anybody can do this, is to tap on your resistance to even deciding to have financial success, starting there. Because even with deciding, once people decide, people think, okay, now I'm home free. Not always the case. Sometimes after deciding, that's exactly when our resistance shows up. You know, we suddenly get sick. Like I was saying, these things in these participants' lives that were happening. And in the second class in the research program, I addressed this with them. I told them, I want to read a few emails that I'm getting of things that are going on with people. Now, I don't know why they're going on, but I do want to make a point here that sometimes when we decide to have something in a certain area of our life, that's when resistance seems to show up in the areas on the outside and in our internal dialogue with ourselves. So one thing people can do is just say, even though, I mean, they could just simply tap, you know, even though I might have a resistance to even deciding to have financial success, even though there might be some resistance I don't even know about, you know, to moving forward with a program or moving forward with a practitioner in this area, that's okay with me. I'm deciding to go at my own pace. Even though I've had financial challenges all my life and I'm finally wanting to put that behind and have this, the financial security I deserve, but I don't exactly know how. I'm intending to have the right resources and programs and practitioners come my way, and that decision feels really good to me. So I would recommend starting there, because now you're really cleaning the slate to get that resistance out of the way. So in any resource or program or session someone's are going to do, they're really 100% on board with it.
And it's really interesting you say that. I have a checklist of 9 things that I think should be included in every single tapping session that we're going to do, that we're going to do over a long period of time. Like, we're going to sit down for an hour and really go after something. And the first thing on that checklist every single time is clear resistance. Because obviously we have resistance. Because if we didn't have resistance, we would have already have made the change. And so I think that's a great piece of advice to start off, to clear that resistance before we go. So
yeah, that's a great, I'm glad you remind me of that with sessions. That's a great reminder, isn't it? Like you said, to clear the way before moving forward in any area, not just as you said with finances, but in any area that someone's wanting to clean up and progress.
So if we're going to start with clearing our resistance to do this stuff, and that's really the first place we start. So after we've done that, what would be the second tip you would give someone who's deciding to go down this path on their own, that they've decided to make the transformation, they've spent some time tapping on the fact that they've cleared their resistance to this change, you'd invite them to do what next?
Yeah. So one of the things that I would suggest is to make it a priority. So the first is decide, and the second is to make it a priority in the person's life. Because one of the questions that I get, and I know you have too, I'm sure, is I have a couple of main areas in my life to work on, you know, which do I focus on? I've seen this with people that they'll do a teleclass of mine on core issues or even a private client, and they'll fill out the intake form, and there'll be several main issues for them, or rather, excuse me, several main areas of their life. They have, you know, they say they're chronically underpaid. They have underpaid jobs. They also want to attract the love of their life, and you know they have chronic headaches. So main areas. The one thing that I think would be very effective is when people make financial success a priority. So now that they decide to really prioritize it, that this goes top of the list. If it keeps on getting shoved down lower in the list to other things, taking care of the family or you know other areas, it will always remain at the bottom of the list. You know, I talk about law of attraction in the program, and the formula that I like to give for law of attraction is 1, you know, decide on what you want, get clear on that. 2, remove the limiting beliefs, the core issues around that. 3, give it attention, energy, and focus. So give your desire attention, any focus. And then 4th, allow it in. So the third part of that recipe is giving it energy, attention, and focus in that recipe. And that's really putting it as a priority. That's what I would say, is putting it a priority, making it a commitment. Say, this is the year, or these are the months, or this is the month that I'm going to tap on this and focus my resources on improving this area of my life.
Well, good. So what, if there's anything else that you wanted to share with someone once they're getting themselves down the way or something they would need to keep in mind? What's the last thing that you'd want them to take away from this idea?
Yes, I would want them to know that really that they can have financial success and security. And for sure, it is so much easier and doable with EFT or a tapping technique or a clearing process, because we're able to, with the right program or the right identification, get very clear on clearing those limiting beliefs around it and the habits. The one thing that I would also want to say is that with any program, even when you, like I said, in the research program, they were experiencing results right away, it is a transition, because you're going from one identity to another. For someone, if they've been telling themselves they don't have enough, they don't have enough, they don't have enough, it will be a transition to go to a person that has been saying to themselves they don't have enough money, to the person who really knows in their mind, heart, and gut, I have more than enough, or I have the ability to create more than enough. So that would be the thing, is to know that it is a transition. But if people do not decide, if they don't make it a priority, they're never going to get ahead.
Cool.
That would be my thing to say that. I want to say one last thing, actually, that came up.
Yeah.
Is that one of the things that I spoke about with the participants and with my private clients is that any successful program of teaching someone how to have financial success and security is not so much that you're teaching the person how to attract a $1 million check, you know, to attract a sugar daddy or something like that. It's not so much that. It's that, if it is successful, in my mind, is that it is teaching the person how they themselves have the ability within themselves, in their own mind, their creative genius, they have their own ability to generate the financial income opportunities, the clients, the wonderful jobs that they need to generate all the money they need and desire. This comes from within. It's not just tapping and then we open up our mailbox and there's a $1 million check, but rather strengthening the belief in that person that they have the capability in any economy, living in any country, to attract to them the resources, income opportunities, so they can have and keep financial success. That's one of the main things. If people leave with nothing else, please know that that is possible for you. It comes from within you. You're strengthening your own inner money generator. And what is that? That's in your mind and your spirit and who you are.
Well, good. Thank you very much, Anna Maria, for your time and your insight on this.
Thanks a lot, Gene. I've enjoyed being with you.
I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I enjoyed doing it with Anna Maria. She's a lot of really great practical advice. If you'd like to hear some more information on how you can use tapping specifically for issues around financial abundance, about a year ago, Anna Maria and I did a project around this, and you can find a link to that at tappingqna.com/podcast. And go into the archive, click on podcast episode number 15. And in addition to finding a link to that project that we worked on before, you can also find information on how you can contact Anna Maria, as well as to links to her whole multitude of projects that she currently has going on, not just for tapping, but for practice building and all sorts of really cool stuff. If you would like to win a free one-on-one session just like Heather did, all you need to do is go to tappingqna.com/contact and shoot me a note. Simply contain the phrase financial abundance anywhere in that email and you'll be entered into the drawing for podcast number 15. As always, if you have questions you'd like to have answered, topics you'd like to have addressed, people who you think I should interview who have something that's really great to say that other folks in the tapping community would love to hear, go to the exact same place, tappingqna.com/podcast. Once again, though, I can hear it is time for us to go. That lovely 80s music is starting to come up in the background, which means we are out of time. For the Tapping Q&A podcast, this has been Gene Montristelli. Have a great day. Questions, comments, feedback, and guest suggestions can be made at eftqna.com by clicking on the Contact Us button. past episodes of the EFT Q&A podcast can be found at eftqa.com/podcast. Please be our ambassador by telling your friends, family, and clients about the EFT Q&A podcast. Gary Craig, the founder and creator of EFT, is always sharing EFT with what he calls an open-hand policy. This policy grants the freedom to ethically practice EFT, give workshops, and create organizations, books, and films, so as long as it is made clear to the public that all EFT activities are not necessarily the ideas or versions of EFT of Gary Craig. The ideas on this program are solely those of the people sharing them. To learn more about the evolving nature of EFT, visit EFTQA.com and search EVEFT. To learn more about Gary Craig and the original version of EFT, please visit emofree.com. The EFT Q&A podcast is copyrighted and the sole property of Gene Monteristo. Any part of this podcast cannot be reproduced without written consent.